of internationally known healing evangelists. I was a house guest, and I was burning up with fever, while the internationally known healing evangelist and his other guests were out around the dinner table. And I'm laying in the back room, my eyelids were hot. You know that kind of fever? And I'm laying there just musing at this because the international healing evangelist prayed for me and I'm still laying in bed with a fever. And so I cry out to the Lord and said, Lord, this is not right. I want to be out there. I don't want to be in here. Could you kind of come here with me and let's deal with this? And just like that, the presence of the Lord came on me just above the fever. You hear what I'm saying? Hot skin, presence of the Lord. I'm underneath the hot skin. I'm in the hot skin, and the presence of the Lord is on top of the fever. And I said, this is not exactly what I meant. Can you kind of like get under this and make it go away? And the Lord's presence just stayed with me and comforted me in my fever. And eventually the fever went away, but it didn't happen then. You know, it was like the next day or so it broke. Now that catches my attention. I'm laying there thinking, well, what is this? I mean, I'm glad you're here, but come on. Help me do this math. I listened to Kenneth Copeland is a name that you're may or may not be familiar with, but he's got stories, you know. And people do things when you have stories. They start to ascribe things to you that they concoct in their own imagination. So I was listening to him on a certain occasion talking about having had someone over for dinner, someone in whatever their ministry circumstances are. And they had a lovely evening. And then later, when this person who'd come for dinner was sharing the fact that they had been in Kenneth Copeland's home for dinner, they went, you were in his house? Could you stand up? But then you get stories like this. Mahesh and Bonnie moved to Charlotte, and a visitation begins. And it lasted for several weeks. And most any time, day or night, if you came into the home, there were people on the floor who could not stand up. Mahesh tells about wanting to go to bed, so he had to crawl the entire length of the hallway to his bedroom to roll up in the bed. Because the presence of the Lord was there in such dramatic manifestation, you couldn't stay on your feet. Bonnie was sharing with me that during that time, the Lord began to tune her in to the prophetic in such a fashion she thought she was going to go out of her mind. Because she could hear the conversations in the bedrooms across the street. She couldn't walk through the market without hearing the thoughts of everybody in the market. This went on for 2 or 3 days, as I recall, when she finally said to the Lord, if you don't give me some relief, I'm going to go crazy. And so it just went. She said, what was that all about? He said, I needed to convince you that I can show you whatever you need. And I can turn the volume up just as quickly as I turned it down. Now, I'm instructed by things like that. Y'all remember Bobby's story when God was asking him to start doing the Shepherd's Rod, the annual Yom Kippur event where God speaks prophetically about things coming in the next year. He said, Lord, I don't want to do what, you know, Bob Jones already doing that. I don't want to do what somebody else is doing. The Lord said, I want you to see it, but I don't want to do that. I don't get revelation like that. And poof, just like that, he wasn't on the planet. He was standing in a sphere, and he was inside the sphere, and everywhere he looked was a video screen. All of it showing different events that were happening in the world, and all he had to do was look at it to fully understand what was going on. And poof, he's right back here, and the Lord said, see, giving you revelation is not hard. Now, I'm instructed by that. See, I've grown up in a Western church mentality where if I go do something, God will reward me. That's the culture here. If I go do for God, God will do for me. which is quite different from me living in connection with God the Holy Spirit and the anticipation that at any moment something can happen. Something can happen. And in adjusting my mindset to get me to that place is the process that I've been in for 15 years. And it's working. I'm loving it. In fact, I like the fact that there's some of us on the journey together. If you look around, you find those on the journey with you, because that's why they're here. The circumstances of my life have given me opportunity to be hanging with some notable ministries in our lifetime, some very significant anointings. And by virtue of relationships, I get to sit in the back room and engage in conversation in the back room, the stuff you don't talk about on the platform, the stuff you don't know how to talk about yet, the things that people who are in the business of the manifest presence of God wonder about out loud together. Because inevitably you come to some similar conclusions. Things like, you know, we're in this, but I don't really know what it is we're in. You see things you don't understand. I recall traveling with Mahesh years ago back when his back was really messed up. I think we were in Taiwan. But it was one of those seasons where I have to attend to him extra hard because he just can't function physically. You know, it's get him out of bed, and every day we've got somebody over there doing the back thing, the little gals running up down your spine and doing their toes and that kind of stuff, or the little bloodsucker guy who's putting bruises on our back, anything to help relieve the distress. And so we get onto the platform, you know, we come up the steps like this, we step, and then the anointing comes on him, okay? And he runs like a young man, boom, 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 and he's telling this and do the, you know, and do that. And then we leave the meeting and it's like the grace lifts and down we go. You go, well, what is that, Lord? Or you get in situations where you have a friend who leaves his sick bed, sick with the fever, because he's in another country and the show must go on. You don't cancel. You get into the anointing and you go like a house of fire. You preach your heart out. God does signs and wonders. You go on the way back, you shrink like a, and go right back until the thing breaks. Now, what is that? I don't know. And when you don't know, you start to visit certain things with fresh clarity, like Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. But the things revealed belong to us and our sons forever, that we may observe all the words of His law. The secret things belong to God, but the revealed things belong to whom? To us. Is healing a revealed thing? Are there hidden things about healing? Yes. Do we abandon what is revealed because we have questions about what is not yet revealed? My position is no. You don't stop doing what you can, hoping that God will lift the veil. Because I'm telling you, there is no amount of Bible study that's going to lift the veil. You understand me? I don't care how good you are with the Greek or the Hebrew, that's not going to lift the veil, because lifting the veil is a function of the spirit of revelation. And reason does not produce revelation. So you say things like that. You say, well, I don't know. I do know some things, and I'm going to be faithful in the things I know, hoping God will lift the veil. Listen to this. Daniel chapter 2:22. He says, concerning the Lord, he says, it is He who reveals the profound and the hidden things. He knows what's in the darkness, and the light dwells with Him. Now, He knows what's in the darkness. Do you ever figure, you know, I feel like I'm in the dark about this? Where does the light dwell? So if you're in the dark about something, which direction should you be headed? Him. Exactly right. Exactly right. See, one of the things that excites me about the season we're in right now, so many of us are willing to press into Him to get it. You know, what is this? I'm asking questions. I'm telling you. I impress on the Lord for some answers, because I want to know more than my mentors knew about some of this hidden stuff. You know, I want to engage the spirit of revelation in the things that I'm seeing with my own eyes. You know, I'm delighted at some of the stuff that's going on around here, but I'm asking the Lord, why is it taking 4 and 5 minutes? Why can't we stand and speak the word and have it all done? Do you know what I'm saying? Because there are moments like that. I've seen moments like that where you speak a word and everybody with that thing in the audience is just supernaturally healed. Sometimes you don't even have to speak the word. Sometimes they just fall out 25 rows at a time and everybody gets up healed. We're in a season where the veil is getting thin. And I'm wanting to press in and go, what? What's over here? You know? If this is my free stuff, bring it on. Daniel 2:23, the very next verse, it says, "To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and power, and even now you have made known to me what we requested of you. For you have made this, you have made known to us the king's matter." Now, I know he's talking about a particular earthly king, but I want to suggest to you that he is willing to reveal to us, his children, the matters that are in the affairs of the king, because we are here as his ambassadors to represent his affairs. There is a spirit of revelation that is at work in us. And I'm personally persuaded that God is doing much of what he's doing around here because we're just really pressing him for it. We really want to engage with him and what he's doing. I want to take a look at something that has intrigued me ever since I first saw it. And it has to do with a particular situation in healing that has a couple of things in it for us to press into the Lord about. You will recall in Genesis chapter 18 that Abraham is entertaining the three angelic visitors, and they're saying, this time next year, I'm going to visit you and Sarah, your old, wrinkled-up woman, wife, whose womb has been dead for a long, long time, is going to bring forth a son. And she's listening inside the tent, kneading the bread, and thinking, yeah, right. And the angel asked, why did she laugh? And her response was, which we understand to be a lie. That's right, a lie. Not Eli, a lie. And listen. Listen to what the Lord says here as she's responding. Why did Sarah laugh, saying, "Surely I shall surely be retired when I'm old?" The angel asks this. He says, is anything too hard for the Lord? Now, the moment you ask, you hear that question asked, what goes off in your mind? Well, nope. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Intellectually, we agree immediately. But what does your life say about that question? What do some of your circumstances say about that question? See, it's one thing to say, is anything too hard for the Lord? No! I'm in church. The answer is no! But you get out there in life and somebody says, is anything too hard for the Lord? You go, well, I'm not sure. I mean, I know the answer is supposed to be Jesus, but it sure sounds like a squirrel to me. You mean I haven't told that joke recently? You don't remember that joke? The young children in Sunday school are getting hyped up by the teacher because pastor's coming in today. He's going to teach. Pastor's coming today. When pastor comes, we want to really be good for pastor, and he's going to come tell us a story about Jesus, okay? So when he gets here, you'll be really, really good, all right? So pastor comes in, and good morning, kids. They're doing this, that, and the other, you know, and the pastor says to him, all right, kids, let me ask you a question. What's gray and has a long tail and eats nuts and climbs trees? And everybody's real silent. Said, won't anybody answer? And one little boy says, well, I know the answer is supposed to be Jesus, but it sure sounds like a squirrel to me. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Now, we know the answer is supposed to be no until we get in a situation that looks really, really hard. And then suddenly, we're right back in our insecurity and doubt because we forget what has been revealed and we're afraid or hesitant or reluctant, or we just totally forget to ask God to reveal what's going on right now. Let's look at where this situation takes us. And it's into Genesis chapter 20. And we're going to read the bulk of this chapter and get the story here. Abraham is doing his sojourn as a pilgrim, and he comes down to Abimelech's land. And en route, Abraham begins to do one of his favorite things. Abraham is a liar. And when lying serves him, he tells lies. Now, he does it, sort of like a child. It's not like a complete lie, but it's enough misdirection to kind of throw the parent off. You know? Did you do this? No, I didn't do that. When you press him, he says, it's we did it. But in the moment, I didn't have a thing to do with it. Abraham's kind of like that. He says to his wife, Sarah, he says, look, don't tell him you're my wife. Tell him you're my sister. Because in truth, she's his half-sister. Yeah, that's an ugly thought, I know, but, you know, that was back then, this is now. I once had somebody tell me, you know, you could marry your sister. Yeah. It was my stepfather's daughter, so there was no blood between us. But just the thought makes my toes curl standing here, you know. I know too much about that. All right. She is my sister. And Abimelech, the king, took Sarah to be his wife. Now then, God comes to Abimelech in a dream. By the way, it wasn't that night. He didn't come that night. Okay? God comes to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, indeed, you're a dead man. Now, how many of you know that's not a good dream? God comes to you, you're a dead man. But it will get your attention. So you start listening very carefully when he says, because of the woman whom you've taken, for she's a man's wife. Now, at this point, I think I would start acting the way Abimelech did. He goes, but God, wait a minute. Lord, will you slay a righteous nation also? Did he not say to me, she's my sister? And she even herself said, he's my brother? Well, that's true, but it's not quite the truth. In the integrity of my heart and innocence of my hands, I've done this. And God said to him in a dream, yes, I know that. You did this in the integrity of your heart. For I also withheld you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her. She's been in the house for a while. And he's not laid a hand on her. And God said, the reason you didn't is because I got in the way. Sure enough. Now therefore, restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you will live. But if you do not restore her, know that you shall surely die, you and all who are yours. Did you know Abraham was a prophet? God's always got his prophets in the mix someplace. If you read the fine print, you'll see them. So Abimelech rose early in the morning. Yes, sir, he was waiting for sun to show up. Let me tell you, we're getting this woman out of my house at first light. Tell that rooster to hurry. And he called all of his servants and told all these things in their hearing. And they were, notice this, they were very much what? Afraid. They were very much frightened. They were afraid. Now that's a good thing. You'll see why in a minute. And Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, what have you done to us? How have I offended you that you've brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? You have done deeds to me that ought not to be done. Then Abimelech said to Abraham, what did you have in view that you've done this thing? And look at what Abraham says. He says, because I thought surely the fear of God is not in this place. But how many of you know when God shows up, the fear of God comes? Did we not read that they were frightened, that they were afraid, that this man couldn't wait to get this woman out of his house because God had come and said, now look, he didn't ask, who are you? Okay? This heathen didn't stop and say, well, who are you to be talking to me like that? Look, when God comes, you know it's God. We get to thinking that God won't do anything for the heathen. Look, Jesus was healing. Well, that's right. He wasn't healing any spirit-filled believers in his ministry, was he? Because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will kill me on account of my wife. Well, he thought highly of his wife's looks. She must have been a real winger. But indeed, she is truly my sister. She's the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife. And it came to pass when God caused me to wander from my father's house that I said to her, this is your kindness that you should do for me. In every place wherever we go, say of me, he's my brother. Then Abimelech, he took sheep and oxen and male and female servants, and he gave them to Abraham, and he restored Sarah, his wife, to him. And then Abimelech said, see, my land is before you. Dwell where it pleases you. How many of you know the fear of the Lord may work on your behalf sometimes? And then to Sarah he said, behold, I have given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Indeed, this vindicates you before all who are with you and before everybody. And thus she was rebuked. And Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and his female servants, and then they bore children. For the Lord had closed up all the wombs in the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Now think with me for a minute. How long would it take you to realize that all the females in your household had gone barren? It would take a few months at least, don't you think, to run through the list. You mean nobody is getting pregnant? And in all this time, he wasn't touching Sarah. So we see the judgment of God in the situation. How? In barrenness. And Abraham prays for the one who is barren, and God opens the wombs. What do we know about Abraham? Was his household barren? So here we have a man that God calls a prophet praying for a barren household, and the wombs are opened. Now look at chapter 21, verses 1 and 2. And the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken, for Sarah conceived. What comes immediately after the barren prays for the barren? The barren is no longer barren. There's a principle here about the one who is afflicted praying for the one who is afflicted, and they're both healed. Do you see it? How many of you are from Missouri? How does this work? All right. Ready to go to work? Now, you couldn't set this up if you tried. I knew what I was preaching, but nobody else did. But here's what Katie gave me when I arrived. Pastor Clark, I have 3 spots on my body that had pain. One was on my foot, right across where my toes been. Know that it is gone. The second pain is on my leg that still keeps going on in pain. And the third pain is on my back that is still going in pain. And yet I still have faith in God. Whoever has pain on their back or on their leg, it is on me. And she'd like to pray for thee. Now, I'm guessing there's some back pain and some leg pain in this room, because this is too much of a setup. So who's got the back pain? There's one. Who else? There's one. There's one. Who's got the leg pain? There's the leg pain. Hello, can you connect these dots? I love it
when a plan comes together.
We are the A-team. Now then, I just think that's a hoot. You know, I've got this boing, boing, boing going on inside of me because somebody's fixing to get healed through the hands of someone who needs healing. Micah, you have a testimony? Yeah, come up. That's why this microphone's in my hand and me beckoning to you. Here's your sign. Okay, great. Give both of them.
All right, I'm going to start with about 2 Sundays ago. I was sitting in the back, and I was so unsettled in my spirit, so uncomfortable that it was making me physically uncomfortable, and I had to leave. And that entire week, I knew that it was unclean spirits that were affecting me that I was so uncomfortable about, because that's what he was discussing. The next Sunday, which was last Sunday, I was being prayed for by a group of ladies, and they started getting words about me having self-rejection and unforgiveness. And I knew that all of those were correct on. I started laughing because of the self-rejection and the unforgiveness both applied in the same situation. A little over a year ago, I was in a car accident, and I was in excruciating pain from my back. There's 2 spots that connect. And it would travel down into my hips, and my hips are already bad, so that didn't help. And my shoulder was also bad. As soon as we prayed for the spirit of unforgiveness, those relieved, and I was like, oh, good, they're gone for now. So I woke up the morning, not the middle of the night, and I turned over, and it didn't hurt. And I got up, it didn't hurt. I bent over, and it didn't hurt. And that could not happen before. I was in so much pain that I would wake up all throughout the night. And then we prayed about my self-doubt. And the Lord can now relieve me of the pain in my hips while I dance, because I have stopped dancing, and I was just dancing tonight, and it didn't hurt my hips or my knees or my ankles.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
The second one's the healing about tonight. He was talking today about being grateful for the little itty-bitty healings that seem so little. And I have a friend who was here last Sunday and had his sight restored to him. And I was talking to him on the phone before I left, and he said, hey, I'm sick. My head's really hurting. My heart beats really, really fast, and he has a migraine. He's in Virginia. He was supposed to be here tonight, but it's not going to happen. And he's in the car, didn't have any water. And as soon as I got here, the Lord said, go drink a glass of water. Because as I was praying for him on the phone, I started to get a headache. And by the time I got off the phone with him and was done praying, I had a migraine. So I got here, and the Lord said, go drink a glass of water that'll be manifest in his body. And so I drank a glass of water. As soon as I was done, I called him because my headache was gone, and he said that his was gone. So.
You know, that sounds something like he sent his word and healed them. I want to ask you a question, honey. Are you a dreamer at nights? Have you had difficulty dreaming because of the pain? Have your dreams been restored? You remember we had a testimony last week from a brother who'd been tormented for 32 years in the night. And the moment that was over, the language of dreams, which is the language of the Holy Spirit, had been restored to him. Torment in the night being when the Lord would speak to you in dreams, kind of makes you wonder why we put up with torment in the night, doesn't it? Speaking of being uncomfortable and in pain in the night.
Yeah, nice segue. We're not going to go there. You know, when you talk about pain, there's big pain and there's little pain. But when you talk about the Lord hears you and comes and touches you, it really doesn't matter, does it? You know, I'd been I'm an old guy, all right. You know, I've been around a while, And occasionally, you know, your joints hurt. And it was keeping me up. And it ain't a big deal, but, you know, it was keeping me up. But, you know, we were praying last week, and Mary said, there's somebody here whose knee hurts. And the important thing there is not that, you know, that the pain in the knee was so great. The important thing was that God came and told Mary,
yep.
My brother's knee hurts. And she then said, okay, there's somebody here whose knee hurts. It ain't a big deal, but it's a big deal. Everything that God does is a big deal. It doesn't matter. It's not cancer. It's not whatever. It was a knee. But Mary said, God told me there's a knee. Somewhere in this place, there's a knee. And I'm just going, yeah, 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 yeah. You know? And she came over and she prayed for me. And my knee quit hurting. And I went home and I slept the whole night without having to readjust the knee. You know, you wake up in the night and you move over. You know, it's a bother. But God heard, you know. And she heard from God. And she spoke the word and healed. You know, I won't trivialize what God does. Every time that he touches you, it's a real thing. And it could be life or death. But you know what? Now, I have faith for bigger things. You know what I mean? If he can hear from my knee and I can get a night's sleep, yeah, that's a big deal. But you know, pretty soon there'll be a big deal. Right? And I've got faith for you. If he tells me something about you, it's because he knows you and he wants to touch you. Amen? He's good.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Yes, Lord. Just out of curiosity, how many of you got troubles with your knees? There's one. There's one. Well, we just happen to have a brother up here who's got faith for knees this week. What do you think of that? Isn't that cool? And I got backs and legs over here. So if backs and legs will come this way, and knees will come this way, we'll go to work on what's left. Now, you're going to have to stand close because Katie can't chase you, but she can pray, I'm telling you. All right, now what are we expecting over here? We're expecting backs and legs and Katie's pain to go away based on the principle. All right, Carrie, come up here, little girl. Now, I happen to have somebody who's anxious to pray for anybody else. Who's got what? David, come up here. She wants to pray for you. Okay. And she has a prayer partner. Go. Prayer support is good. Prayer support is good. Remember when you used to think this stuff was so hard and spooky and mysterious and, you know. Yes?
I was sitting there and now I have like really sharp, excruciating pain in my left ankle. But I don't have ankle problems.
Okay, who's got sharp, excruciating pain in their left ankle? Sharp, excruciating pain in your left ankle. Who's got sharp, excruciating pain in their left ankle? All right, teeth. Who's having difficulty with their teeth? Those of you who are praying can be listening. We're still getting stuff. Who's got difficulty with their teeth? All right, come on down. Teeth. Mary, come pray for teeth. Who's got the pain in the ankle deal? Yo, Mary. Are you a teeth?
I'm a tooth.
Oh, good.
Right.
We have tooth. Well, in one word. Yeah. Three. Here's some more teeth. Look at me and confirm for me. None of you are sitting there with a hurting ankle. Not you. 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 No. That's odd. That's peculiar. Maybe we should try who's having difficulty in their walk with the Lord. Remember a couple of weeks ago, the Lord began to do things physically to illustrate a spiritual problem? If you're having difficulty in your walk with the Lord, let Susan pray for you.